Put patient safety over everything. That's all it is. That's your training. Mm-hmm. We need real decentralized clinical trials, which means we're not beholden to the big CROs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of I Am Christina D'Arcangelo. And on with me today is not Dora. Even though it says Dora, I will let Dan explain who he is and give you his full name so that you understand that it really isn't Dora. It is Dan. Welcome.
What
Dan.
A good catch. Thank you, Christina. My wife must have used my Zoom. So there, I just changed it. Dora is my wife. She will probably never be on any podcast. But well, I will be on all of them for the two of us.
That is awesome. I just thought, well, maybe you did it to be a little snarky because you work in clinical research and we explore. So I thought maybe you had Dora because you explore and you wanted
definitely
to,
not,
you know, bring that into the podcast today.
Plenty of exploration, but yes, definitely not.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining us today. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about your background? We've known each other for quite some time now. God, I don't even know how many. It's been many, many years. I mean, I think you were one of the first people I talked to when I first got into cannabis clinical research. And that was in 2016 that I can recall.
That I can recall, too. Yeah, even like a little before that. Honestly, Christine, I don't remember how we connected. I just remember that we did. Like, it just became a connection. And over the years, yeah, I remember when I was like trying to get into the CBD space, COVID kind of derailed that and pivoted. But, you know, I was super interested in the CBD space, especially as it pertains to clinical research. I was talking to different entrepreneurs back in Orange County about getting into it. You know, they were already into it, but they were looking towards me as a clinical research angle. Everybody tried to have a differentiation of their products. And it just, I guess COVID just happened. And, you know, we got really busy. The industry got super busy, clinical research. So CBD kind of fell off the map for me personally. I still use it, like the oils. But that's about as far as I'm involved with it these days.
Well, I obviously stayed in the cannabis space the entire time during COVID. I was actually working on multiple formulations, some of which were COVID related products that would help with palliative issues for the long haulers. But I too ended up in the COVID train as well, working on the traditional side. And then also on the nutraceutical side that wasn't cannabis related, it was an actual nutraceutical product that ended up getting approval in the DR as a treatment and a COVID palliative product. It was originally approved in the DR for cancer. Mm. And these patients were coming in and the doctors were already giving them the product because of cancer. And then they started seeing, well, wow, the load's dropping. The viral load was dropping on these subjects, not only, well, patients, because they weren't in the trial yet, but then also the palliative response that they were having. It was helping, you know, with the breathing, the sleep, the anxiety, the weight loss because of the loss of smell. So then they, you know, started working in that space as well. And so then we, you know, I was working on the project with them. So it was challenging.
Yeah, that's probably something I need to still explore is nutraceuticals. I mean, CBD is probably somewhat related, but yeah, nutraceuticals later on in my career, as I'm starting to shift towards more science focused. I'm running a research clinic right now in Yuma, Arizona. It's a 2-year-old company, almost 2 years old. It's probably my last research site, all startup. And operate myself. It's a great business, just a lot of work. And, you know, I'm being drawn into the biotech space over the years. So I'm really getting more into the hard science now than ever before.
That is awesome. I love that because I've had the opportunity through Affinity Biopartners to run one of the top 10 plastic surgeon clinical trial sites back in, I was working with them 2014, 2015. So that's when I started working in, the Botox, Nutrafol. I worked on Nutrafol for hair loss. I did a lot of work with PRP for hair
Oh,
loss, and then also the nutraceutical product. So I get it. Like I kind of, and that was pre-cannabis, right? Because, I kind of started looking into some things more and more on the natural side because I kind of found that I was sick and tired of reading about all the side effect profiles on the other side. And as I started working with the nonprofit and having, affinity patient advocacy and having more and more patients come to us that were suffering from, initially oncology, and then they branched in. I started getting all the cannabis patients coming through because I do research and they figured out I was one and the same. And so then we were advocating for them. And so it just really gave a focus, if you will, for me personally to make that switch. And so it's very rare that you see me now working in traditional. It's not that I don't want to. I'm just very choosy as to what I work on now. And the last traditional project I worked on was a CNS, mental health drug. And I have a lot of ties to that space because of personal reasons with my family members. So when something that can drive me, I'm there. If it doesn't, I just can't. I'm not for it anymore. It's not about the money for me. It really isn't. And that's not because I don't need money. Of course I need money, but I choose who I swim with in the pond.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm mental a CNS. I have mental health issues in my family, to say the least. And CNS has been like the foundation for, and really the launching pad for my career. But now I've branched into internal medicine and derm and things like that. So I'm becoming more well-rounded over the years.
Well, and it's based on excitement, right? Like where you feel as though you can contribute to science and a better patient outcome. Because at the end of the day, as clinical research people, we want these patients to have the most positive outcome with respect to their participation in the study if they're lucky enough to get the study drug.
If they're lucky, and yeah, really, it's like where excitement meets opportunity, like you know, that little gray intersection. I forget what it's called, but that's where I'm at. Like, I don't even this, like, I don't really do it for the money. The last thing I wanted to do was start another research site, but when I moved here to Yuma, Arizona, you know, I was working from home, I have remote businesses. I still have clinics back in California. And I was looking around this town, you know, and it's not a small town really. It's like 150,000 people in the middle of nowhere. Like it's on the Arizona, California, Mexico border. The nearest competitors are San Diego or Phoenix, which are like 2.5 hour drive away each in different directions. So I looked around, I'm like, why is there no research here? The industry wants minorities and underserved
Diversity.
populations. The physicians are entrepreneurs. They're either entrepreneurs or employees of this large hospital system. Like, there's really no in between. You're either like just have a stable job getting paid 200 to 300K a year, or you are an entrepreneur physician making like 7 figures a year in your private practice just because there's no other competition. So I was like, all right, these private practice guys and gals, you know, they'd probably be interested in research. Sure enough, they were. And it's never been easier, Christina, to get a study for my site than out here.
That's awesome.
Like,
Well, that's good to know because we're going to be starting some new studies through BioPartners and Spectral, which is
awesome.
the EDC ePro technology platform that has the bots and then the telemonitoring side. So what we're going to start doing is for all the new studies, we're going to actually turn on the telemonitoring at the same time that the clinical study is running. So that way the subjects are constantly being monitored throughout the lifetime of the study. so you're not going to lose as many people. And so we just did something very similar in the diabetic neuropathy study that I'm working on that's in the cannabis space. And this was the first traditional pharma clinical study where it was developed specifically to target two pharmaceutical products that are approved in that indication. So this is we're close to, you know, reporting out and things. I have to be careful because they're publicly traded, but soon we'll have that done and we'll be able to share that. So I'm really excited about that because we're cleaning right now. And we recruited that study through Affinity Patient Advocacy. So that's who was talking to all the patients and pre-screening. Our bot was on, Cannabot was turned on. So we would catch patients, pre-screen them, then they'd kick to a human that was at APA, and then APA would talk to them and make sure, because there's, you know this, owning a site, you've really got to listen, multiple sites here. You have to listen to these patients to see what they're
Oh
not
yeah.
telling you, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it listening from the beginning to the end. I had a patient yesterday that came in through one of the central recruitment vendors. Those work really well in Yuma, by the way. They don't work well in Orange County, California. Patient came in. I had in mind to screen him for one study. So did he, because that's the ad he clicked on. Well, it turns out that study was not appropriate for him at all. At all. So instead of pushing to get him in this study, which would have been potentially dangerous for him, I said, hey, let's wait 2 months. We got another study starting. And he really appreciated that. He's like, wow, you're not, I would have figured you're trying to pressure me into this study. He said, no, we don't, I don't want you in this. Like,
No.
you're a walking SAE, man, if we
Yeah,
put you in this thing.
that's absolutely right. Like, you know, in the DN space, you have a lot of wounds, right? Because these are diabetic patients. And what happens to diabetic patients? They have a tendency to unfortunately lose limbs as a result. So these patients that we were talking to were the worst of the worst. I mean, we did not purposely screen out the worst cases. No, we didn't. We wanted them. We weren't afraid. However, we did it in a manner that was safe. So if people, we were talking to people, like we're not physically seeing them, right? So you've got to ask some questions about wounds. Do they have wounds? You know, if so, how bad is it? What are you being treated for your wounds? What, you know, do you have dead skin? What do you have? Have you lost full circulation in that limb? You know, all these questions that normally, you know this, people don't ask these questions because it's a DN study. And all I'm looking for is pain patients, really. But that's not what good clinical research is.
Exactly right. So, like a lot of the sites, a lot of the CROs, a lot of the sponsor, well, the sponsors are so disconnected, they don't understand any of what we're discussing now. And most CROs don't either or don't care. And it's the sites that really, you have to, I try to put my coordinator in my shoes and see if they would. I mean, I'm hoping that I'm training them to be autonomous and it would have made that same decision. To be honest with you, I'm not sure yet if they would have. Like, I think the reason I made that decision, I'm not afraid of getting fired, and I've done this enough to understand that there are other options. What my goal is to train my coordinators like to kind of be mini versions of me, so that I don't have to be at the clinic every day, and I can do podcasts like this and random stuff. They're actually screening someone right now.
That's awesome. Well, and then the other thing too is the sponsors should appreciate you, you know, because you're really as a no, but really because you're
Well, I
making
took
sh
their lead. They paid for it. And I
yeah.
put that lead in another study.
Well,
That's
that part. However, you're helping patients in general, right?
right. That's
And
right.
so that is what we're supposed to be doing as clinical research professionals. And there were a lot of patients that I couldn't put in the study. You know, I wouldn't even let them get to to you as the site. I wouldn't even let them get. And, but I have the relationship I have with my sponsor as the CRO. And then, I own the EDC company as well. So, we're firing queries out of the EDC system to the central lab. When have you heard anybody from an EDC company? And I know you've worked with tons and tons fire queries to the lab. It's because CD is in charge and we know where stuff falls down. They've missed samples. And I'm not talking poorly about our team members on the lab side. It just happens. It's shit happens, right? And so we try to mitigate. But with my sponsor, I made sure that I was 100% transparent the entire time. I would tell them the subjects I screened out through APA, and I would explain to them why we screened them out. Well, this one had this and this one had that. One person almost was, well, the one person was coming in and was having a heart attack, Dan. Thank God my study coordinator at that site was like, either he's got COVID or he is having a heart attack. Never consented him, sent him to the hospital, and sure enough, he was having a heart attack. That would have been an automatic SAE if we would have consented.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's those kind of things. Like GCP at the end of the day is taking care of putting the patient's safety over sponsors'
Wishes.
wishes and maybe the outcomes they desire. So that's GCP.
We have to follow the law. Like we cannot do things that are wrong, because at the end of the day, we have to protect the patient's rights. Wherever you're sitting, if you're sitting in the site side, if you're sitting in the CRO side, you damn well better be thinking about it. It's not about monetize. I can't even talk today. It's not about monetizing, right? Like I don't do that as a CRO. I don't put fake people in my study and then I bomb it out. Like, what's
It's
the
not
point?
the, it shouldn't be the North Star. I mean, monetization will happen, but GCP, it's not just a 1 hour training you have to do every 2 years. It's, I mean, it's very simple. I tell people get overwhelmed with GCP. It's easy. Put patient safety over everything. That's all it is. That's your training, like a one sentence training. Just keep that like in mind as you do everything in this industry, and you'll be okay. Not always the most profitable avenue to travel, but it's the one you're supposed to travel down.
That's right. That's what you're supposed to do. I love that you brought that up because also I always like to tell people, think about your family members, right? The ones that you love, because I'm sure there's some family members that drive you crazy, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like, think about your mom or your dad or your brother, sister, kid, for that matter, pediatric, think about them when you're doing this. And is this something that you would want happening to your family member? And that was the whole reason why I started APA, as was because I saw for myself, like, what th this is all messed up. They're not talking to each other, these doctors. And who helps these patients? The caseworkers don't. They don't know how to, because they're combating each other. A private advocacy firm, we don't care. We want to be your friends. We want to work with you, hospital and doctors, et cetera. But at the end of the day, the patients are who we care about, and they deserve to have a voice, and they
That's
deserve to
right.
be heard rather than
That's right.
dismissed.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, look how much we've grown up.
I mean, it should be fairly obvious. We see people getting into this industry all the time for the wrong reasons, whether it's on the job, job candidates lying on their resumes and indirectly putting patient safety at risk because they don't know what a monitor even is, let alone getting thrown into a study to monitor. So that's the fake CRAs. Then there's the sites getting into it, just pure money. Like, that's a slippery slope. Like, fudging the data a little to make a patient fit turns into, let's just start falsifying the data. I mean, it's not that far off from, like this slippery slope is very real. So, and then CROs too. I mean, they're putting like, they're approving studies, or they're advising sponsors on protocol design for studies that they know are never going to actually get accomplished in the real world without 10 amendments. But guess what? They profit off of those amendments. So there's no incentives for them to do otherwise. There's a lot of mess in this industry. So we need more people like you in it for the right reasons. And, people who are in this industry long enough can see that.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I'm blessed to be in this space with you, who try, yeah, you try really hard and you speak out. I love that about you. Like when you see some shady something or other, because you put something up about payments. So I'm like, we always pay on time. As a matter of fact, Stan, I go in the EDC for the sites and generate invoices with
Wow.
backup, send it to them and say, hey guys, does this look right to you?
We need
Please
to
let me
study with
know.
you.
You know,
Forget these other CROs. We need to study with you.
well, we've got some stuff coming up on the horizon, so I was really happy to reconnect with you.
Yeah,
That was
likewise.
my selfish request to have you on today, was because I wanted to talk to you because I wanted to see what you're doing. But also I wanted to, you had me on your podcast years ago when I first got in the
Years.
space.
Wow. We need to do it
Yeah,
again. I
I
wish
love
I
it.
could do longer, because we could go for like 2 hours solid,
But let's do it. I'll come on and we could talk about these CRO issues, sponsor
Let's do it.
issues, patient advocacy stuff. Let's do it. Let's talk about it, because the more times we come out together, and then you know what? We should add you to our magazine, the
I'm
DR.
down. Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send an email to Nikita so that way you can get some
Okay.
exposure there, because it's a lifestyle magazine.
Yeah.
It's the DR, so it's my magazine. So I'm not getting, blacked out or any of that stuff, right? And we talk about
Awesome.
research, advocacy, special interests, people, things, culture, obviously fashion. I love
Clinical
fashion.
research is my lifestyle. That's
Yes,
all I've known since
exactly.
being a functioning adult.
Exactly. So, like, what better than to be able to have your own magazine where you can't get
All right.
sanctioned? You know?
We need more of that. We need decentralized, we need real decentralized clinical trials, which means we're not beholden to the big CROs, which I don't know if you guys are paying attention out there. The top five big CROs, they're bigger than like 80% of sponsors. That's
That's
a
correct.
problem. That's a
That's correct.
problem.
You're absolutely right. That's correct.
Don't get me
That's
started
correct.
because my wife's gonna get pissed. That's Dora. And then she will come on this podcast and yank me off.
The cane and pull you out. Well, that's okay, because we've got to end now anyway. So saved by Dora, not by the bell.
You saved me from Dora. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for being on with me today, Dan. It was such a pleasure to catch up with you today.
Thank you for having me, Christina. And yeah, we'll do it again. I'll come on. Love to be in the magazine. Thank you so much. Your podcast again, my podcast. We have hours of content we can do.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very
So,
much.
thank you. So, as we always say at the end of every podcast, remember, we are the same. I am Christina D'Arcangelo. Thank you.